TFYLP is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com for all your import and third-party transformer needs, and save even more through the CapturedPrey loyalty program. Now offering free basic shipping on orders of $150 or more. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Look for Mega Toy Fan at the hottest toy convention near you or online at facebook.com/mega.toyfan. Mega Toy Fan for all your vintage toy necessities. Let us know you're listening. Whatever social media network you use, give us a mention by using hashtag TFYLP.
Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hey, everybody, we're 38 minutes late, but we're actually starting the show. We had some Google Plus problems tonight, but we're here. We're going to talk Transformers. We're going to have some fun. Before we get started on anything, I want to go ahead and mention our sponsors, Captured Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service. And I also want to mention Mega Toy Fan. And while we're talking about Mega Toy Fan, I want to go ahead and mention that right now, they are running a contest on TFYLP's Facebook page and maybe on their Facebook page. I'm not entirely sure about that second detail. But they're looking for a slogan. So if you get on there, post a slogan. It could be funny. It can be serious. Whatever. It's up to the whims of Brett. He's going to read them. And whatever he likes, he's going to win. If you win the contest, he says he's got something for you. So, you know, post those slogans up. Got a couple here. You know, Scott Brining posted, Mega Toy Fans, we got your toys right here. Lamont Howard, Mega Toy Fan, maximize your collection and terrorize the competition. I'm particular that one. That's sort of like the Beast Wars twist. But those are just a couple of examples. We need more slogans for Mega Toy Fan. They need a slogan so that we can mention it and get tongue-tied.
Mega Toy Fan, you kill it, we grill it.
For both our sponsors. So I have with me today Don.
Hey, buddy.
We got Jim.
Greetings, Internet.
And we've got Jason, a.k.a. Plasticon, making his triumphant return to the land of Transformers. For your listening pleasure.
I have been on a hiatus because life has been getting in the way every Friday for me. This is the first time I've actually had a chance to actually sit down and be here for you guys. I am sorry I've been gone. If any of you guys have been following me on Facebook, you can probably know everything that's been going on. And on my YouTube, I just recently put up two music videos that are for a band that I actually shot over the past week or so. It's actually turned out pretty good. So I've been doing a lot of video stuff lately. So I've been pretty heavy on that kind of thing. So, but I haven't forgot about you guys. I've actually got a lot of Transformer stuff in the works as well. So,
yeah. Well, and we are jealous of the barbecue that you have in your vicinity, no matter how wrong it is.
I just got to have a great...
We're not going to start a barbecue Texas war.
I know. I'm just going to say, there's nothing wrong with, his Texas-based barbecue. There's nothing wrong with Kansas City. But everyone knows North Carolina vinegar-based rules. I just wanted to say that.
I'm partial to meat, so...
And moving along.
and I'm obviously here, your bumblemouth host that's named after a blue car that chases after red cars. And we're going to talk...
Mind you, he's the Beast Wars fan.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Transformers Prime tonight, because tomorrow, at least here in the U.S., Transformers Robots in Disguise airs its premiere two-parter episodes. So we wanted to sort of go into this new cartoon having a discussion about its predecessor. So we're going to start right into Prime Season 1, Season 2. Does anyone want to take us into it?
Well, I will. We saw some previews of Prime early on. We were all getting really excited about this because it was something definitely different from what we've had in the past. Whole new network, whole new setup of rules. I think what got a lot of us was just the quality of the CGI. Even though there was some issues at first, it was just a really good looking show initially, compared to what a lot of people were thinking. I know there was improvements made through the as the show progressed, smoothing, better shadows, things such as that. But it was by the end, it was a very beautiful show. The only thing is with CGI, of course, you do sort of limit the characters you can have, all the different modes. Same thing was with the Green Lantern animated series. You know, that's why you only had like five Green Lanterns, which is what, you know, with the CGI animation involved. But overall, I thoroughly enjoyed this series. I thought it had a great cast of characters. Everyone knows that I love the human characters. I thought they were very well done. And an important part of the show, probably more than maybe any other character in the past, except maybe Sari. Probably Sari is equal to them as far as importance in the show. I have a few issues with the final episode for various reasons, but I'll bring that up later. But overall, I thought it was a very well done show. It's just, I think what hurt it is that it was so hard to find a way to watch it when it aired because of just the issues with the hub. I think if it had been on an easier station to see, not exactly Warner Bros. Network, but you know, somewhere else, maybe we would have gotten season 4 and 5 like they were wanting to do at one point with a 5-year arc. So,
well, that was weird.
Yeah, the hub, I think, was a decent thing to try, but I don't think it panned out the way it intended.
If they could have somehow bumped down to a lower level tier on most cable providers, again, yeah. I don't know how all this works. I'm sure someone out there can tell me why I'm wrong and be perfectly correct about it. But if it could have been part of a more basic package or maybe just a basic tier up, so more people would have gotten it, I think we would have gotten those last two seasons that they had originally wanted to do a 5-season 40.
Well, it took the place of Discovery Kids in that same cable package, that same tier.
Yeah. And
well, the only reason why I can possibly think, considering, you know, I'm the one here with the film background and all that kind of stuff, I think a lot of it drove to advertising. A lot of people out there don't understand when it comes to these package deals that the cable stuff and such they offer. they have certain kind of advertising on those. It's like you change stations, you don't always see the same advertising on every station. So it possibly was because it was more advertised driven. It's like when you go watch like Nickelodeon, Nickelodeon's going to have a lot of more kids-based advertising versus Dawn liquid soap or advertising vehicles or some kind of sports drink or something like that. So you're going to see a major difference in the channel layout. So honestly, and possibly it could have been because Hasbro might have fronted a lot of money thinking that was going to be the best decision. So, and that's usually sometimes the case.
Well, they did advertise the hub on a lot of Hasbro products at the store.
Those stickers were
the Lux figure or anything that says, as seen on the hub network or whatever they called it.
Yeah, those little purple and white stickers were on everything there at the initial launch for the toys, and even on non-Prime toys, I remember seeing it on. I just remember seeing it on other Transformer toys that weren't actually based on Prime characters.
Prime had it. Generations had it.
Yeah.
Not sure. I want to say Rescue Bots too. Had it on there.
Well, I think it did because Rescue Bots was starting about the same time too.
Yeah. Maybe even MLP. I'm not positive on that one. I think the ponies had it.
Well, it wasn't just. I mean, to be honest, it wasn't just the Transformers toys. We also had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles toys. There was a lot of stuff like...
Hello?
And I think we've lost him.
Yeah. So what happens when you mention Ninja Turtles on a Transformers podcast? Okay.
But, the one thing about season one that I really wish that they had, that they could have kept, I wish they could have kept The Rock as Cliff Jumper. I think Cliff Jumper would have added a little bit more of a dynamic to the group.
I agree.
Just to give a little, this RC was a great RC. I love Bulkhead. I like this Ratchet, the old crotchety Ratchet. I love this Ratchet. The whole Prime group, with the exception of Bumblebee, because I don't like Minicon Bumblebee, who can only speak in beeps and talks. You know, I don't like that Bumblebee. Thank God they got Real Friedle to do the voice again. But I think if they could have kept The Rock as Cliff Jumper or done something to give Cliff Jumper a similar voice, it's sort of like what they did. I'm going to mention Ninja Turtles and probably get dropped, but they added Seth Green doing the voice of Leonardo this past season, and they explained it in the show as based on some trauma when he was fighting Shredder. So even if The Rock could not have stayed on due to his movie and other commitments, they could have somehow explained a voice box issue or synthesizer issue, whatever the case may be. But I think his character would have added a lot of energy. And I have to say, instead of say Miko and Bulkhead, imagine Miko and Cliff Jumper.
That could have been fun.
That could have been a lot of fun.
Actually, that could have been really fun.
No. It's like, you're supposed to watch it. But I guess you could say Wheeljack sort of took over the Cliff Jumper role to a degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
But...
it being a wrecker and all.
Yeah, he was in there so...
But was Cliff Jumper a wrecker?
No. No, Cliff Jumper wasn't a wrecker.
Okay. I didn't remember for sure.
Yeah, he wasn't a wrecker. But Wheeljack was on there so sporadically, especially through the first two seasons, that he really got a taste of him, and then he was gone for like 7 episodes or 8 episodes, and he would come back for an episode and vanish again. So
almost like Skids in G1. So, hi, bye.
Hi, I'm part of the throne. Bye.
Bye, my toy.
Well, I think, honestly, like, when it comes to Cliff Jumper, I mean, a lot of people like the character and all that stuff. You know, obviously, it was a Rock playing as him. I think what it was is Hasbro probably fronted a lot of money at the beginning to get him involved. And they probably just didn't have enough money in order to keep him in the actual seasons. So
this was a long running problem in the show. As it progressed, you know, they had Gina Torres as
Arachnid.
They had Adam Baldwin as Breakdown. They kept bringing in these big stars, and then they would set up some plot lines, but then the character would go away or die, and they would never really resolve it. And I always felt it was because they were just too they'd gotten too expensive actors.
That's how it works. This is some insight for you guys out there that don't understand how seasons are made and such. What happens is they hire on the actors and stuff for that season. And as they are airing that season, they are working on the following season. That's how it works. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, once you guys watch that season's already been filmed. It's like with The Walking Dead and all this stuff. Why do you think it takes so long for the next season to come out? Because they're still filming it. So they try to stay ahead of the game by releasing a season ahead. It's normally the rule of three. It's like in Hollywood, a lot of us have been seeing a lot of trilogies come out. It's because a producer goes up, and for them to get the money fronted, they have to have three movies normally scripted, ready to go. Once they get them filming and shooting the first one, they're on to the next one. And that's how it works. It's the same thing with seasons. So I think that was probably the issue, is they couldn't book those voice actors. Plus, those voice actors might have been doing some other gig during that time, so they had to schedule around them as well.
Right.
So that's a big thing a lot of people don't understand about the business. There is a lot of red tape involved, but...
Well, and they were paying Peter Cullen and Frank Welker all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, also one thing to remember is, like Pascal was saying, that's why we've never got Frank Welker at BotCon. The man literally does not know where he's going. His assistant keeps him on track on where he's going to be the next week. He actually told the BotCon organizers this. He literally cannot plan anything more than a couple days out because his schedule is booked so full, he does not know where he's going to be 4 days from now. So that could have been the same for Mr. Baldwin, Gina Torres, and everybody else that, you know, they were doing it while they had the time, like Plasticon was saying, and then they just did not have the time. And instead of just phoning in a bad performance, because I'm sure they were getting well paid for it, but I don't think they wouldn't be doing it if they didn't enjoy the show too, to a degree.
Yeah.
So
has he ever been to a BotCon, Frank Walker?
No, he did. Now someone out there will, because again, I've been to all BotCons but one in '97. But after this point, they all run together, so I can't remember individual years anymore to a degree. But Peter, I think it was the first year Peter Cullen was there, he actually sent a audio tape of him as Megatron and Soundwave saying that he wished he could be there to fight his longtime nemesis Peter Cullen. And I'm sure it's on YouTube or something. I'm sure it's out there. It's still out there. Mm-hmm. But that could also be just the reason they just literally didn't have the time to do it, like you said, Plasticon, but also the fact that they didn't want to do a crappy performance and just decided just to bow out while they could.
Well, I mean, and that's a lot of it. Most people don't realize when it comes to booking voice actors, it's very difficult. Myself, I've got a really big project that a lot of guys know that I've been working on, and I've asked, trying to get everybody lined up to actually do that kind of stuff is very difficult. Sometimes I have to basically send a script to somebody. They do the voice acting and stuff, and they send it back to me, and then sometimes the audio might not be the best or something like that, and then sometimes you have to work around that, because sometimes these guys have to do it during a different time. They don't necessarily get brought into a studio to do some of this stuff. Sometimes they have to be brought in just like a small little soundproof booth as convenient at the time to just get it done.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's really difficult to match it with the animation. I mean, the way things are nowadays, it's not like it used to be years ago where it would literally play the cartoon in front of the actor. And then the actor would try to match his voice to what's going on with the action on the screen. It's not like that nowadays. Nowadays, they pre-record and then they put it in.
I want to say the last time I think they did that with a Transformers series would have been the original Robots in Disguise for 2001, because I remember there was footage a while back, had Wally Burr, who was Cyburn, recording some lines involving Fortress Maximus. There was a whole thing about that, and he was in the watching the scene over and over.
Well, I mean, it's different. Like, okay, I know some of you guys hate Michael Bay, whatever. But let's take that movie, for instance. You've got, you know, they bring in Peter Cullen to do a lot of the voice acting. But guess what? Peter Cullen's got other stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever his part is brought up for Optimus Prime, they actually bring him to that studio because they got enough dinero to do what they want. And when you have a low-budget thing, and I hate to say it, Hasbro is not one of the most high-budget people. They got a lot of toy lines and stuff like that they have to cover, but they don't have a lot of money to be able to throw into media. So they have to be very, very discreet on what they're dropping money on and how they're booking people and how much money they're giving these people. So sometimes they have to get what they get, you know, get given to them.
Yeah. Well, as far as the disappearing characters go, to me personally, Lost Cliffjumper was the worst just because of what might have been with this character involved in the mix. Breakdown, I really got to like Breakdown and Knockout was just a really good duo.
Yeah.
And it's weird, Knockout, after Breakdown was taken out of the series, Knockout still continued to be such a strong character. Usually if you're part of a duo and you lose half your duo, you lose a lot of the rhythm, but he was still a great character.
Yeah.
But I think Breakdown's loss was the worst as far as him just sort of Arachne just killing him outright, and then boom, that's all you see until Silas starts wearing his body around. Spoilers. But then Arachne
kind of felt like a kind of a Ransack and Crumple zone again, you know?
Yeah, but funny. But the Arachne, at least she came back out of the stasis pod, and her becoming the vampire and all that, at least her arc kind of got a tiny bit of closure, but her just stuck on the moon, we kind of just felt like we don't know what else to do. We'll leave it open for the future. Heck, she might show up in new Robots in Disguise. You never know.
That's what I'm hoping.
So, I mean, I think the loss of Breakdown was the worst of the leaving actors as far as the character goes, but as far as the overall series, I think losing Cliffjumper's presence was the biggest.
Yeah.
Okay. But
there's times that I mean, we all know that, you know, Hasbro tends to use names, and when they use these names, they sometimes lose those names over not using that license for so long.
Right.
I've been kind of wondering, why did they bring in Skyquake for such a short time, and then all of a sudden he's gone? Does that mean in the future possibly going to get another Skyquake character? Are we going to get like a you know, one of the new Minor Wars kind of things, looking like Skyquake or something like that from G1? Or what are we going to get? You know, and I know some people say, "Oh, he's G2." No, he's not. He's G1. He came out before that.
Yeah. It could have been maybe the reason the character came and went so fast was his toy got pushed back, or was moved completely to a different assortment. So that Skyquake's toy character was put in the show initially because the toy would be coming out around the same time. But if the toy gets moved back, or it's going to be a completely different character like it was in Dreadwing, then they probably had to change the story in mid-production, or at least had to have, you know, they couldn't have a character around in the show wasting CGI slots, there was no toy to sell. So I'm always thinking that was probably something to do, is the toy got moved back, so they didn't have the character in the show eating up CGI budget without a toy to sell on the shelf.
That's true, but I mean, how many times have we seen them where they'll take a toy, put it on the shelf, it's literally a recolor of something else, just to save that name?
Shark to
Convict. Look what they did with the smokescreen during that line. You had Smokescreen that came out with the Arms Micron, which was a repaint of Knockout. And then later on, comes out with his own individual mold.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you know.
I mean, we even had that. So.
Yeah.
And then there could be repainted again as Prowl.
Yeah. I mean, we'll never know all the ins and outs of why we lost some of these characters. That'll be good for this coming BotCon, is if there's any way we can ask with the new Robots in Disguise coming out, having a lot of the same people. We may get our answers to these questions. Like, for me, the big question is, how far is new RID set in the future from Prime? So, because if we can get a sense of time between the shows, we have an idea of what and who we may or may not see. And I'm thinking out loud here. We're probably not any type to shows except maybe basic, like Bone will be talking about being on Earth for a while and having listened to this group or that music or whatever the case may be. So there'll be ties to what happened before, but us being character specific showing up like Arachnid. You know, so specific characters like Arachnid showing up in this new format, or hopefully Miko, Raph, and Jack will show up at some point, but we don't know how old they're going to be at this point.
Hopefully Miko and Jack are standing over Raph as he's just a splatter on the ground because some Decepticon accidentally stepped on him.
Ooh, that's...
We just took a dark place.
So anyway, I think the better, not just making these ties, but making the ties make sense, will benefit both shows.
Well,
he's going to come up with some crazy device in order to scoop Raph up and turn him into some glob or something and stick him in a incubator.
It's called a dust devil.
Sticks him in this thing and he's like this crane-like creature or something.
Cybertronian Swifters. Well, the planet's made of metal. I mean, you gotta have something to keep it from being dusty.
Dude, it'd be horrible if they did that and they put him in this canister and then all of a sudden he becomes a Quintesson of some sort.
don't give Cybern any ideas.
Now he's probably more like one of those heads from Futurama.
I thought
that
when it comes to the human characters. I thought Miko was a very strong character.
Yeah.
I liked Jack.
Just badly written at times.
At times, but I mean, I grew to really like her. She was sort of like Sari 2.0. I really liked Sari in animated.
I would have liked them to bring Sari into Prime.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they could have maybe
a different version of her.
You know, like aligned continuity. But I don't think it covered that much, but we got mask reference. We got a mask reference in Prime. That was kind of cool.
Yes.
Did you guys hear that they're supposed to be trying to do something with Mask and G.I. Jokers?
Yeah, they and Visionaries.
Knights of the Magical Light.
Yes.
I have a feeling we're going to see a resurgence of that pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, I've got a... Well, again, this is a little off-tangent, but...
No, it's off-topic, but sorry.
But I think what we're going to be seeing is everybody just blacked out.
Google's being weird today, folks, so...
Everyone...
I think we even got this thing working, by the way.
But I got a feeling just what you're going to be seeing with Visionaries, G.I. Joe, and Mask being a human... centric group, I think we're going to be seeing a similar size or same size figure across the board. That way they can swap more parts out between the three series.
Oh, that would be excellent.
More than that, what would make sense to me, honestly, is given how G.I. Joe hasn't been doing so hot as of late, due to the second movie.
You don't know about it. They pretty much have canceled the entire line, dude.
Yeah, with the line's 50th anniversary and then being no figures on the shelf.
They've canceled it. It's been completely canceled. They haven't.
Well, not no. Well, Plascon, there's a new brand manager.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's a new brand manager. But
with the G.I. Joe though, what I think we're probably going to end up seeing for Visionaries and Mask to be able to work and work well, I think it's going to interconnect with G.I. Joe in the fiction as well.
Honestly. Yeah, well,
and not quite like the Marvel Cinematic Universe is, but something akin to it. Like they would be aware of one another's existence, maybe team up, crossover.
Okay, another crazy crossover I would like to see. And I know some people are going to rage about this, but I would love to see them bring GoBots more into Transformers. Somehow bring them in.
I could see that working amazingly well.
I would love to see that because not necessarily craziness, but. I mean, I know they have harks to it every now and then, but I mean, I want to see them bring in some full-fledged characters. Give us a leader that turns into a jet.
Yeah.
Everybody would love that.
I mean, Hasbro has those characters, so and you do see some of them in like IDW stuff.
Well,
I think the problem there is
Jetfire.
Bandai.
Yeah, you know the new Jetfire. Take that thing and somehow convert it over to make it a leader one.
Yeah, but the problem there is still Bandai.
Yeah, because
Bandai is still making GoBot toys.
Yeah, well, see,
Bandai's making Machine Robo Rescue, not GoBots. GoBots and Machine Robo Rescue were two different cartoons.
They could argue that it's very
that. I can answer this question because we asked them at BotCon last year, and basically, Hasbro owns all the rights to the GoBot names and fiction. They don't own the character likenesses based on the toy because that's Bandai.
So update it. But classics.
But I'm just saying, we asked them. Yep, exactly.
We got Fracture, we got Bug Bite. Yeah. Just changing your appearance.
Exactly. But as far as Prime goes, let me ask y'all this with season one. Again, spoilers. You know, spoilers.
Gunfire.
Nice.
But you know, and I'm quoting River Song here. Spoilers. For you Doctor Who fans.
Wait a minute. I got a question. Is this the official first gun face ever?
No.
Lockdown.
This is G1. This is Diaclone.
Yeah.
No. it's something your Nexus infested barbecue fevered mind made up. season one, okay? And then spoilers if you've not watched Prime, okay? Give you a second to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, season one Stars Prime was awesome. Yeah.
Oh, come on. They've had 5 years.
I'm just saying. But well, someone's going to say, you should have said, do you think starting with Unicron was a really bad idea? It's like, where do you go from there? It's like, you know, they wound up going to some good interest. I mean, where they went season two and three was very interesting. I'm just wondering why Unicron
let's not
that
say season. Anything about season two was interesting.
Well, there was some good episodes.
Mm-hmm. Far and few between. Bad. I don't know. The first half of season two, the quest for Gubbins was pretty, or the MacGuffins was pretty stupid. I didn't like it, but back to your topic, did they blow the Unicron load too soon? Maybe.
I wouldn't have praised it like that. I just said, you know, do you think they should have? I mean, unless they wanted to finish strong with season one. From a rating standpoint, to guarantee a season two, I can see them pulling out the big guns to save the series if they thought they needed to. But really, it's just Unicron season one finale.
On the one hand, I can see that being, you know, too over the top and too much too soon. But at the same time, We didn't actually see a planet-sized Unicron. We saw
avatars,
incarnations of it, you know, form out of the surface of the Earth.
We saw a planet-sized Unicron every time they zoomed out on Earth.
Yeah. Well, he was the core. He wasn't actually the planet.
Yeah.
But that being said, though, having him in there in that capacity helped to set up the whole explanation for the Dark Energon, which then carried through the rest of the series through all three seasons.
And I think if you...
Really, that was like the central theme.
If you ended with Optimus Prime eliminating the threat, and let's say there was only one season, then it would have been, you know, just fine. It did cause for season two to be a little lackluster at the very beginning. It's like, they already fight Unicron. How much?
Yeah.
Where can it really go from there?
And then
the answer is Unicron eventually.
Yeah. And then it turned into kind of like
Megatron.
Yeah. And then it turned into basically, let's hunt for the relic of the week, which every series falls into. I mean, nearly every series has a hunt for the relic, hunt for the Pokemon of the week kind of thing going on.
I have to admit this. Back in G1, at least, when they did that on the Generation 1 stuff, it actually worked. G.I. Joe during the same time was doing the same stuff.
Yeah, the Weather Dominator that splits into three evenly complete parts.
They lose it anyway.
I like the fact that Weather Dominator.
G.I. Joe, I love G.I. Joe, but I mean,
I like the fact that Weather Dominator split into three easy parts, not just a shrapnel of parts, three basic parts. But. Now, season two, I think it started out a bit.
And the world could be ruled by a floppy disk.
But we all knew Prime was going to get his memory back. That was kind of a given. Now, they didn't do it right away, which I appreciate them doing that. They actually kept it going for a while because Megatron and Prime does have this long backstory before the war, so it did make it kind of sense. But you kind of knew it was going to happen sooner or later, and then you knew all these relics and stuff was going to be the MacGuffins of the season. So it starts off a little weaker, but it doesn't get to be a bad season at all. It's just, again, after you
know. See, the problem with me, the problem with season two is it's the season of non-committal plot lines. You know, it's like, is Breakdown going to go to the Autobots? Because it sort of seems like that for a while, but no. How is Bulkhead going to cope with his injuries? Oh, he's going to get better in two episodes.
Well, but at least it wasn't the next episode, though. You know, at least it showed him recovering.
The problem I always had with that.
I mean, they didn't just, he's all of a sudden better.
That's the problem. Even if it was stretched across two episodes, it still didn't feel satisfying. It was sort of like, I'm grumpy, I was beaten. And then one episode, he's just like, okay, I'm fine now.
But I thought you were injured, Bulkhead. Oh, no, that was last week.
My legs severed, walking off.
Yeah. But here's the good thing. We did get, because of that injury, we did at least get that great story with RC's background before she came to Team Rhyme on Cybertron with Cliffjumper.
Yeah.
And that was, and she was trying to get Miko to relate to, you know, the loss of a partner and all that kind of stuff. So,
and we got David K. Hardshell. I'm just saying. David K. is always good. You can never go wrong with David K.
But this is my question. Do you guys think that episode with Cliffjumper, do you believe that was filmed during the same time as the pilot episode?
No.
That wasn't the same.
Different voice actor.
Okay. I didn't.
The Rock was in Darkness Rising, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, for the first 10 minutes.
I wasn't sure who did voice act him then.
Sure.
Who was the voice actor?
I'm not sure. It was.
Did they interwebs?
I don't think he said a lot in that episode. But it was definitely a different voice actor.
Yeah.
They should have just started with a different voice actor from the beginning and kept Cliff Jumper around. He was a cool, you know, that yeah. old muscle car was a cool character. But I know we talked about that earlier. But yeah, I mean, I thought that season had a lot of good backstory. Like, you really started to see that Megatron understands Optimus and respects Optimus. He knows his enemy. They were friends at one time. And Optimus knows Megatron. He knows his enemy. He wants to change. They're both vying to change each other's ideals. They want the other one to see that they're right, and that's what this season set up. But I couldn't get past all the, you know, every time they set up a plot line and it was like, this could go somewhere that a kid's cartoon never really treads. It could be something that's very interesting, you know, something that's very thought-provoking, you know. Not deep, not dark necessarily. But it could, you know, it could set up plot lines to rival what Beast Wars did. And then it was mm-hmm. like, and then the writers 2 episodes later sort of backed off of it. They're like, nah, we can't take it that far. We can't really do anything with that. And so I wanted Prime for the longest time. I'm like, I really want this to blossom. I would be perfectly fine if everyone was saying, you know, was like, Prime is just as good as Beast Wars and just as good as animated, but they never committed to anything to get it to that point, is the problem I had, especially in the first 2 seasons.
Not to get too far off topic, but still vaguely on topic-ish, it seems Cliffjumper had 3 English voice actors over the course of the series. First one being Dwayne Johnson, of course, The Rock, in Darkness Rising Part 1. Billy Brown was for the episode Out of the Past. And then the Terracon Cliff Jumper, where he's a zombie, was Frank Welker.
Oh.
I did not know that.
I did not either.
Frank Welker does everybody.
No kidding.
Who's zombies?
You know, and on that topic, I mean, this is the and I don't know if you guys already talked about this, you know, but the Prime was Welker and Cullen's coming back, basically, yeah. into the cartoons.
No.
I personally thought Cullen was a little bit boring, but then they also went with that stoic Prime. I really hate what they've been doing with Optimus Prime lately. He's become such a monotone character. He's really not that interesting. But on the other hand,
I've noticed that too.
On the other hand, Welker's Megatron was amazing. I mean, he rivals. He's in my top 3 Megatrons, right? You know, it's Beast Wars Megatron, animated Megatron, Prime Megatron. Prime Megatron was an amazing character. And
that's a little different there.
Well, see, yeah, I'm not a fan of G1 Megatron's voice. And I know people are going to be like, crucify him, stick him up, and...
Send out letters of hate to Sideburns.
Yeah. I don't care. I grew up with the best Megatron. You know, your points are invalid.
No, I agree. I know people in the fandom who have a very special place for G1 Megatron, and that's their opinion. That's cool. No problem. It's just, I know people that will fight you to the death on that.
Yeah. I didn't like the graveliness, the really high pitch, but he brought it, the way he brought this Megatron down, I was like, man, this guy is, he's a bad guy, and you could tell it. But he's smart and he's collected, and you know, he was just a really cool. Megatron.
To me, even though they're not the same character, to me, the Prime and Primatron seem to be a lot more older, more mature versions of the G1 characters. Just because they seem like they were a lot more... Prime seemed like he was a lot more war-weary, so he was carrying a lot of that weight even more than his G1 counterpart. That just it always struck me as they were older incarnations of what we saw in G1. They were already old in G1. This is them another million or two for the fighting up all that.
Well, but then there was that I think RC said something when I think Miko asked RC, and she basically said, "Oh well, primes are just." Emotionless like that, you know. They're sort of machines. I mean, even the Autobots sort of, all the other Autobots sort of said, you know.
Well, focus.
Primes are just, they're different than everyone else, you know.
I have to admit, I think probably my favorite character out of them was Ultra Magnus. I was a big fan of that.
This taking Ultra Magnus was kind of animated, kind of G1.
It was very spot on.
Kind of a good one.
And hello, Tobias.
Hello. Hey. Sorry about the delay.
That's all right.
Well, I said you were thinking one bad podcast. So no one blames you.
Excuse me?
No. He was saying you were probably bed podcast.
Yeah, you're trying to say between the two.
No one would blame you if you chose the bed. Beds are comfortable, and they're pretty good for sleeping. That's a fact. Hey, that.
Yeah. Well, that's part of a problem. I'm blaming the technique. Oh, I'm sorry if I look perplexed here, but your guy's not coming through that well. You're breaking up all the time.
We're having a lot of problems with Google Hangouts tonight.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so we're just bearing with it. Hopefully this goes out to all the listeners as something that is at least a little bit, you know,
watchable.
You can comprehend it just a little bit, hopefully.
Well, Tobias, we were talking about season one, season two, roughly. We talked about characters that, like, break down Arachnid and Clipper that kind of fell away from the mainstream. That we lost them characters. We lost the voice artists. We were talking about did they use Unicron too soon in the series? Things like that. Have you got any general thoughts on season one and two?
Sorry, if I got what for season one and two?
If you have any thoughts on season one and two of Prime?
Not other than I really enjoyed it because this was the first Transformers show that I actually followed live, so to say. Because animated, I picked up, I think, 2 years after it was broadcast. So, I was pleasantly surprised by the show, and I really liked it, the characters and everything about it. And honestly, I can't remember all that good season one and two. the last season and...
it has been a while.
And the upcoming Predacons Rising and so forth and so on. In that discussion, I can join in more vividly.
Well, we must talk about, like, you know, I was saying how I felt that if we could have kept Cliffjumper series, I think it would have added a really unique energy to the show, too. That's one thing I was thinking.
So what are your opinions on the whole Unicron thing. Did they use Unicron too early in the series? That's one thing we've discussed here.
If they used him too early?
Yeah, because I mean, he was at the end of season one, and pretty much the season one ends with them defeating Unicron. And
Yeah.
Do you feel like they went to the... Because typically in our fandom, Unicron is the big bad. And did they go to that too soon? I guess it's...
I don't think so. I never had that feeling when I watched it. I think it was cool that Unicron appeared as he did as well. He looked like a giant tree monster or something like that.
Well, and so what did y'all think about Unicron being Earth? I mean, is that...
Yes,
that was kind of unique.
Gaia.
Yeah, I mean, I really... Personally, I really, really like that.
Yes.
Because you sort of think about the difference between Transformers and humans, and the fiction has always been that humans are sort of unpredictable and a bit chaotic compared to the Transformers, even though, they're fighting a million-year war or millions of years of war. And so to have them be, Unicron's, spawn, basically, was a pretty unique take on it. It was sort of like you had the sons of Primus fighting for the good of the sons of Unicron, being humanity.
Well, he didn't care. He said, Primus, be your key.
Don's breaking up really bad.
Yeah, I'm not picking up hardly anything.
I'm sorry.
I do have a. Here's a thought, and this is kind of an unsung hero in the Prime stuff, but
somebody killed Raph.
What about Tailgate? No. What about Tailgate? It was literally going to possibly maybe be a repaint of Cliffjumper.
He was in the Legends class. Yeah.
But I mean, isn't it interesting that they never gave a deluxe toy of that? Or, I mean, I thought it was cool that they actually.
I'm hoping we'll get that in the box at some point.
I mean,
damaged version of that'd be pretty.
That would be a great BotCon thing if they ever tackle Prime. But I don't think it was too surprising. The Cliffjumper molds weren't that great. They really weren't.
Are you sure that car mold was pretty hot?
It was, but the overall, those toys, I don't think I ever had a hard time finding a Cliffjumper. I think all we ever really saw was a silhouette. And the lower half of his body.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, it looked just like Cliffjumper.
Yeah, I mean, because they're reusing assets at that point.
Yeah, we didn't even get to see spray on screen. We saw a shitload of
it. Yeah.
Hasbro is notorious for repainting everything. Everything gets repainted.
Takara hasn't thrown a gold or black repaint out either.
I mean, come on, look. This guy. Why do you think it was invented? For one reason.
I mean, was Tailgate in the comics at the time?
Yeah, this guy. He's made for possibly 2 to 3 different molds.
Oh yeah. They have Blades, Vortex.
They repaint everything.
I don't think he's gonna be Vortex. I'm more of the opinion now that he's going to be Blastoff.
I can see Blastoff too,
if done right.
It's a possibility it might be Blastoff, but it could be Vortex because you think
if he's
it,
Vortex, if he's Vortex,
here is just mushroom pegged in. You can pop it out and they can easily put a different piece in.
Yeah,
this right here's got a pin, so I mean they're gonna. I mean,
if he's Vortex, I'm disappointed because I want his blades to be able to spin in combined mode, and Alpha Bravos really can't.
Honestly,
they'll probably reward that.
I can see an indie toy company probably coming up with a solution to fix these.
But I think he could be very easily made into a blast off.
Yeah.
It looks like a shuttle. So.
Yeah.
Speaking of Cliff Jumper, I was while we were down video wise, one of my favorite versions of Cliff Jumper, Great Charger.
The translucent one.
Yeah, but I have to say this is probably one of. If someone told me to pick two molds from Prime that really showcased the different kinds of engineering they had, it would either be the Wind Charger mold or the PRID Viacon version, because both are brilliant transformations.
Wind Charger. What do you mean?
Well, Cliff Jumper, but I call him Great Charger.
Oh. I would choose. I mean, you would have to go with this guy.
Yes, I agree with him on that.
He's one of the best.
Oh, they're surprised. The guy with the clothes like Wheeljack, thinks Wheeljack is the best
character. and to be honest, a lot of guys know that I got out of collecting the generations and stuff like that. I downsized my collection, but I did stay and keep, I don't care what anybody says, the Cybertron downshift that is Wheeljack.
Oh, definitely.
I kept that one. I've got two different versions of the generations of Wheeljack because I've got one that is... it's Ripper labeled, and the other one is not. And I do have the Beast Hunters and the Prime Wheeljacks because I collect every Wheeljack I possibly can. And I have a few I don't have. I got G1 and G2 Wheeljack, which a lot of people don't know about G2 Wheeljack yet. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, there's a pre-picture for some of you guys. Some of you guys that follow my G2 stuff, you've already seen pictures of them. But there will be a commercial pretty soon, too.
The Computron was pretty interesting.
Hey, I got a lot of them. Trust me.
All right, so I think we have covered the first two seasons.
It's what I call my rainbow shelf.
So I think we've covered the first two seasons pretty well. So we're going to move on to the stuff that's probably better on everybody's mind because it's the most recent. You know, it only ended, a year ago? And that is... Season 3, which is when we went to the subtitle of Beast Hunters.
Oh, yes.
And the Predacons Rising movie that wrapped the series up.
Beast Hunters even had a slightly different theme song.
Yeah. I mean, they edited the intro sequence and everything.
Yep. Yeah, this is minor, I know, but I love it when a series actually alters the credits as the show progresses, like Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes did that.
Yeah. Every episode, it was different, depending on who was featured in that episode.
Exactly. And, you know, Prime did that, but shows like, I love Star Trek Next Generation. For 7 years, they had the same opening credits other than name cast changes. Yep. And it's like, that is, you know, that was so bad. That's the one fault I have with the show, other than season 2 and Pulaski, is just the same opening credits for 7 seasons. But I'm really glad Prime did change up their intros for Beast Hunters.
Star Trek, you have to stick to a standard when it comes to that stuff.
But not for 7 years.
It's Star Trek.
Nah, I agree with Don. I mean, you just... keep the same music, even keep some of the same lines, but you throw in some new footage of different people, because things change and become more relevant and less relevant. But
And I think Prime was one of the last great examples. Now, there's probably shows out there that I'm not familiar with, but Prime, to me, is probably the last great example of a show having a full opening credit. Because so many shows at that time, such as the Thundercats reboot.
Yeah.
Us getting... Well, this is my big pet peeve. I'm just going to mention it. Not having a real opening theme, I think, hurts a show. Because you lose that memorable hook that people will keep with them for brand recognition long after the show.
It's the music everyone remembers. Everyone remembers the opening music to G1.
Everyone remembers the opening music to Mask.
Yeah, everyone.
Yeah.
I hear that. It's like, oh my God. It's like.
Or probably the one that most people will recognize, Thundercats. The opening theme to Thundercats. I mean,
G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I mean, it's and us and
you old people and your 80s stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to say,
I'm trying to keep this topic on Transformers.
Guys, I know, but I'm just saying.
Guys, Gem and the Holograms.
Oh yeah,
definitely. But Mike,
you're right, Samantha, because you know she's probably been watching this stuff because she's been on the cast before.
But the thing is, well, Mike, I mean, I agree with you, but that's just it. We've seen the two openings for the new Robots in Disguise. One is a short, almost not a non-opening opening, and the other is about a 30-45 second opening. And I've got a feeling that CN is going to, of course, pick the shorter opening so they can get more commercials in there.
Yeah, they will eventually, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's just...
And that is unfortunate. I mean, when I think back, the series that I remember most, every time I think about Beast Wars, I think about their opening, you know, the opening sequence, the first R.I.D. back in 2001, I think about its opening sequence, Transformers Animated, that had a great opening sequence. Those are just sort of the things that you think about when you think to those. I mean, you think back to
it's not always the opening sequence, it's usually the music. If they have something different with the music.
Well, we're taking that as a whole.
Yeah, but if you go back to something like Armada, where it was like, here's some exposition on something that you've heard 20 times about stupid minicons.
Yeah.
No one cares. No one remembers anything about music or an intro.
Armada had, I think, 3 or 4 different intros over the course of the series.
Yeah, they eventually got one, but who remembers it? You remember
they had the first one where it's like, hi, I'm Rad, and I want to tell you about the Transformers. And then they went with one that didn't have the voiceover at all. It was just the audio.
I remember the end credits more than the opening credits.
Right. Then you got they started the Unicron battles where things were starting in that direction. And then they were actually in the Unicron battles and had that version. But overall, they kept the same theme song. You know, so they changed it up to keep it fresh, but they kept that continuity of that memorable tune.
So
that's something I think is really missing.
So I'm grateful for Prime for not taking the easy way out and having a 15-second opening.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it really was. It wasn't comprised of like reuse or just like stock footage from different episodes either. It was, you know, it was something that was well put together.
Yeah, it wasn't Transformers Season 5. No matter how awesome the commercials are, they don't make it for a good opening theme. Visually, anyway.
Yeah. So, Beast Hunters Season 3 introduced the quest for the Predacons and introduced Predaking. We had some interesting character development in
Ultra Magnus
and in Smokescreen. So it was really, it sort of, for me, it sort of pulled it back from Season 2. The episode with Ultra Magnus and Wheeljack and, you know, you have Bulkhead in the middle trying to, you know, both you guys, come on, we can work together. That was a spectacular episode.
That was still one of my favorites.
And, I mean, that just solidified as Ultra Magnus in this. That's just, you know, an absolutely great character.
Yes, that's a really great character. And don't forget Shockwave as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shockwave was well done.
Shockwave, man. He was...
Shockwave. Who doesn't like Shockwave?
Yeah. Like Shockwave. The toy for me was kind of but the character?
The vehicle for that toy suffers from... I like to call it
the H-Tank
Revenge
syndrome.
Of the Fallen Megatron H-Tank syndrome.
You know? Armada Megatron.
I call it H-Tank syndrome because every tank it seems like that's come out recently is a flippin' H tank.
I don't think that's
because Halo introduced the H tank.
I don't think he suffered.
There are different tanks out there.
I don't think he suffered from the fact that he's an H tank. I think he suffered from the fact that he does this, you know, to transform, and he kind of sits down. I mean, because if you look at Classics Warpath, he's an H tank, and he's a good figure. I mean, he doesn't really suffer from that. You can you sort of understand. It's easier to break up those treads in a way if they're two different sections than one section. If you have to break them up, if they have to go on the arm or if they have to go on the legs.
Well, that kind of goes into the toys. I mean, one of the things I really do not like about them is how much rubber was actually involved with those, because a lot of us know from our 30-year-old toys, rubber starts to degrade over time, and I don't care what you do to treat it, it does degrade.
30-year-old toys. About 30-year-old toys. All of my original RID toys, all their tires were cracking. I mean,
they all got RID already falling apart. I mean, I'm sure there was a few Beast Wars that had some kind of rubberized part here and there.
Not much, if at all, I don't think.
There wasn't much, but I know there's possibly some.
Because back then they didn't care if you standardized out. They were like, you know.
Shockwave's going to suffer a lot. Well, you think about it, Shockwave's going to suffer probably the most out of all those. Why? Because a tread disconnects and plugs into his gun. That's rubber.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can see a lot of that.
That tread is cosmetic, though, for the most part, I think. Because I believe it tucks inside of a plastic wheel, does it not? I'm pretty sure it does.
Yes, but it has to overlap. It overlaps the plastic and then tucks inside. I remember because I used to have a toy. It's and the way it tabs in, it kind of pushes in and twists to lock. So
yeah, I mean it's
imagine in the future, it's going to be missing this tab. Yep. That's going to be why this toy is like $300 for this stupid thing. Generation 1 Shockwave. It's like still stupid expensive.
Yeah, it's, I mean, but that toy is great in row-up mode, which is where it needed to be great.
Well, I did it right. The only thing I didn't like was the spinning arm gimmick, but I'm like, I can kind of look past that.
Yeah, that's like a nice aesthetic. You know, kids have to have something that spins to keep their attention, apparently.
Well, you know, I
have to put electronics and little bitty scanner things on the toys. Oh wait, we haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, but, you know, it's weird. I have the Target Ultimate Predaking. That's probably 9 months old. Oh, over a year old now at this point. Oh. I still haven't opened it because it's visually impressive. It's visually impressive in the box, but I haven't decided whether we'll open it up yet or not.
You know, I really wanted that upscaled Predaking. I actually think it looked like the best Predaking. And it really wasn't that simple, that giant Voyager Predaking. It's just it was impossible to find in the States.
Ross Marshalls and Targets got them near the end of the run. They were I saw several and many discount.
I saw a lot of the big those dorky looking Optimus Primes, but the Predaking probably got snatched up really fast.
Yeah. Now the one I did like what they did with the Beast Hunter toys, the characters that continued over that had existing molds got beastified, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
You know, Wheeljack got the upgrades, the swirly plastic, like war paint kind of thing, I guess you could call it that. But the characters that were new to that season got regular alt modes, which I thought was
like snap-on parts to make them.
Exactly, which I thought was a really great idea. That way you show the characters that are changing, even though the Beast Hunters, what was going on in the toy fiction wasn't going on in the show. you still had the similar themes running, but the characters that when you were getting new characters of and new toys, they were regular Transformers and not the beastified ones, which I thought was a really good decision on their part.
One of the things I didn't think about that
was like everybody has a Bumblebee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had a Bumblebee. Well, then they released all the Bumblebees with all the blades and stuff. Because it's like, you know, everybody had that. Same thing with Wheeljack. It was more or less a mass-produced mold. So in order to keep from, I guess, mass-producing all these molds, they probably came up with the idea of the snap-on parts, which was great. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you with that. I think it was an awesome move and probably the best move for them. Although some of them rubberized, but most people didn't really display them.
When I opened up my smoke screen and I opened up my shockwave, I took those stupid rubber parts, I threw them in a drawer where they will stay forever, and I'll pretend like they don't exist.
Well, I mean, it's a part that you can completely dismiss because it fits in with the aesthetic of the toy, but if you want to have them all toy accurate, you kind of have to have them, especially if you decide to resell or anything like that. I mean, some people, they want those parts. I don't know why, but they do. But it's those completists. Anyway, but like I was saying, I think it was a great idea and a great move. It's like, you have this smoke screen, but what is the smoke screen that's got a bunch of blades and crap sticking out of it? It's not so accurate. So I'm thinking they were thinking a little more ahead by saying, okay, well, let's put on there.
Hey, man.
Metamorphosis.
There's currently two of you in here.
There's two of them.
But,
Tobias, yeah? I wanted to ask you, did you get Beast Hunters late after, really long after we got it, or did it come out with about the same time?
It came out about the same time, which I was very happy about. Because I was going to mention my favorite toy from the Prime toy line. But before that, I have to mention something. I don't know if you talked about this before I joined the show tonight, but the second season ended with a really cliffhanger, with the Prime's arm sticking out of some rubble or something like that. So for the 100th time, Optimus Prime was dead.
Again,
yeah. But he reincarnated into something really, really cool, and that leads into my favorite toy of his toy line, and that's the Voyager class Optimus Prime from Beast Hunters. I think that was a really, really good toy, and I'm talking about a robot, not the
Dragonfire. You're talking about the Voyager, right?
Yeah, that one was a little strange.
Yeah, it was a really cool looking toy. It
was robust and it was big and looked really good. The solid toy.
That was right after, because I mean we did fail to mention with the Prid line. That was when we were really going through that time period of downscaling.
Mm-hmm.
We had the FOC line in Generations, which were incredibly small toys. We had, they teased us with First Edition, and then those were almost impossible to find. And then they brought RID out, or the Prid line, and they were smaller, easier figures,
I don't know. I still think the Viacon from the Prid line was the best thing that ever came out of all.
The Viacon doesn't quite count because he came out almost a year and a half later or something.
It's still the best transformation out of the entire line.
Well, and I'm not
the Batmobile.
But it was
it's phenomenal.
That was also when Generations was switching back into, larger size figures again. I mean, that's when we were sort of started coming over that hump and we started getting well designed figures. I think the only reason we got him, who was pretty well designed in the beginning, was that, and everyone assumes that he was originally supposed to be first edition. I mean, RC was pretty well designed, and Ratchet was pretty well designed, but there was a lot of compromises in those figures.
What was weird, Tobias, about that Optimus Prime is we got so many little tweaking variations of that figure, because we had the Commander class, which really wasn't that much different than the Voyager. Then the Commander class got blown up to the Voyager class.
Yeah.
Plus you had the green repaint, I think, in the Voyager class. So it's like,
what was up with the green one?
Nah, I don't know. If it had been Allspark blue, I would have figured they were still getting rid of all that Allspark blue paint.
I figured maybe he got the Lantern ring or something. He was a Green Lantern.
I still think the very first one that came out, like the very first version of that toy, was the best.
Yeah.
It's straight up like, you know, Cybertron Prime. That's what it looked like. It was so awesome.
Plus, it's a mask reference. It's a mask reference.
I have to commend Hasbro on saying, hey, we got this awesome sword. Let's just remold this sword for the reissue Predigame they did. So that's kudos there.
I had a double. That was a. I mean, because I was gonna buy that Prime. I mean, I liked him, but I was gonna give the sword to my Prid. Optimus Prime. I never got the Beast Hunters Prime, and I still kind of wish I had. Just by the time I decided to, he was off the shelves already. But when I got my, I had to get the reissue Predacons because they're the Predacons. And I was like, oh yeah, this sword, I don't give a crap. This isn't going with my Predaking, but it's definitely going to go with my Optimus Prime because Optimus Prime needs a Star Saber.
Yeah.
And, so Beast Hunters, we saw a return to the larger scale. And it, of course, had the running theme of Predacons, since we were talking about Predaking. And Predaking was sort of reissued in response to that. So we had this line of dragons. You know, the Predacons were these ancient, bestial transformers. I guess technically they weren't even transformers, but they were sort of the dinosaurs of Cybertron. But in
Grimlock's the dinosaur of Cybertron.
Well, he's the dinosaur of Earth of Cybertron.
That doesn't hurt anybody's head at all.
But
unless it's Fall of Cybertron.
So in the show we got, by the end of it, by Predacons Rising, we got three Predacons. And in the entirety of season 3 we had
Darksteel. We're the other two, right?
Yeah, it's Skylanks and Darksteel. But in the entirety of season 3 we only had Predaking. But he actually turned out to be a pretty interesting character.
Yeah.
And what did you guys think about Predaking?
I think, as he stands, I think if you take the whole character arc, including Predacons Rising, I think it's pretty good. It just took him a while to actually be more than just the MacGuffin of the show. But he wound up being a very enjoyable character.
Yeah.
I wish they would have not had him seem like this, you know, just not non-intelligent dragon, you know, drone at first, you know, when they first introduced him. I mean, I like how they eventually showed that he was more intelligent. He started planning things, and he started smacking Starscream around.
Yeah, well, and he sort of, I mean, he sort of came into it pretty fast.
Yeah, but I think they should have done that from the get-go, is, you know, have him to be, you know, out and say, hey, I am Predaking, you know, don't screw with me, that type of thing.
I think it's sort of gave him a unique character to where he was sort of like, you know, I wasn't quite sure what I was. I wasn't quite sure if I should reveal myself. And then he, you know, he finally did. But he was sort of like, you know, I didn't know. You know, I was being a little guarded. And I kind of liked that. He wasn't... I think what made his character interesting to me is that he wasn't the gung-ho Decepticon.
Right.
He was some, but he was a little more honorable, easier to sway. This is a problem I had with Prime, is Predaking was the same as Dreadwing, was the same as a little bit of Breakdown. I felt like all three of those characters had a moment where you were sort of like, these guys are redeemable characters. And then they all, none of them really got that redemption they deserved, or...
Well, toward the very end.
Predaking maybe gets his a little more than the other two, but...
Not quite as over the top honorable as, say, Beast Wars Dinobot.
Yeah. I sort of wanted Dreadwing to become that character. Mm-hmm. I really liked that character. I felt like he had the qualities to to be that sort of Transformers Prime's
Dinobot.
And then he was just like, you know, be good, Optimus. I'm gonna go, you know, be really stupid. And so that was really disappointing. But
that's metal too for you.
Well, he did the character that his Beast Hunter's toy to me reminds me so much of Beast Wars. Tigerhawk. I always felt like his voice sounded a bit like Megatron.
I can see that.
Yeah, so I never got that, and I wanted it, but oh well. So on our show, we actually talked about Prime through its entire run up to the end of season 3. So we never really talked about Rising.
Rising.
Which was the TV movie that came out after season 3 to sort of wrap it up. You know, we've already said spoilers plenty. So Bumblebee kills Megatron at the end of Prime, and he gets his voice back, and it sort of ends kind of flat, because then we have this TV movie come in. And I feel like this TV movie did some good things, some not so good things. We had Unicron's return. Mm-hmm. He came back as taking over Megatron's body, sort of locks Megatron inside of his own mind. And by the way, Jonathan Noble, that's his name, right? Yeah, Jonathan Noble playing Unicron was awesome, because I really liked Walter from Fringe, so that was pretty cool.
Yes, that was excellent. I'm glad that he actually got into a voice acting role instead of just being on stage.
But so we had that plot line. We have Predaking finding some other Predacons, you know, basically pulling a Grimlock and beating them in submission. We had Bumblebee trying to be a leader, Optimus trying to save the world with a MacGuffin, like he always does.
Talked about Starscream.
What did Star?
He does enough talking about himself already. We don't need to do it for him.
Yeah.
Exactly. He was very arrogant throughout the whole thing.
Starscream was an amazing character.
He was.
I really liked him.
He was a very amazing character.
I think this was the first Starscream I really didn't want to reach to the screen and punch him just for annoying me.
I like the Starscreams that annoy people.
Well, up to a certain point.
That's kind of his thing.
Yeah, I know, but
I just do.
It's just the mega doses of Megatron has stubbed his toe. I'm the leader now. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I think he lost a little bit of his of his thunder towards the end. They sort of went more cowardice with him than.
Yeah.
I loved the first episode.
Hey, somebody steal your TCOM to see what happens to you.
Well, I mean, I loved the first episode where he. They're in the mines, and he says something. I can't exactly remember the line exactly, but he drops the bomb, transforms, and flies out. And I'm like, this Starscream is awesome. It just instantly cemented him as, you know, this is the Starscream that, you know, that deserves to be called Starscream. I mean, there were others in the... there was been a lot of good Starscreams, but this one was... I don't know, they did an amazing job with him.
Now,
so Don's talking, but his voice went away. For a minute, your mouth was moving, but the mouth was down.
Like a Jeff Dunham puppet.
Oh God, I'm Walter.
Oh God, oh God, it's Bruce Lee all over.
But back onto Predacons Rising. How did you guys feel that it wrapped the series up? How it established, you know, suddenly Bumblebee's a sort of a character. Before then, he was just beeping like a minicon. What did you guys feel about the Megatron, you know, Unicron plotline?
Well, I'll say this, okay, as far as how it ended.
Yeah.
I could not help but laugh hysterically at the ending of Transformers Prime Beast Hunters. Here's why. Megatron made peace with Optimus, willingly disbanded the Decepticons. The war on Cybertron is over. You know, Unicron has been imprisoned, the day is saved, and Optimus still dies. Like, really?
Starscream still wants to be the leader.
Right. It's like, out of all that, everything's over, and he still has to die.
Exactly. It's just...
I mean, I think he needs therapy.
Yeah, he's a little bit suicidal, I think.
Like, the sun is shining on Cybertron. You know, the Allspark is captured Unicron, and everybody's okay, and nope. Gonna die.
Well, bye. No, it was the all because the plot line was that it was he used the containment field to capture Unicron because Unicron at this point is pure energy, but by doing so he had to absorb the energy that was in the container to begin with, so the only way to basically reignite Cybertron was to join with the core.
Yeah, which I mean, yeah. Which is shades of Beast Machines.
True.
Mm-hmm. But
there was no Ultra Magnus saying, "Damn it, open!"
But this Ultra Magnus has time, you know, and you know he doesn't need to open things.
Yeah. Well, now
he just gets one of those
he's got
rubber
a hammer this time.
He gets one of those rubber things,
right?
That you use to open lids, and he gets it open, and no problem.
He's got a hammer now. He has a hammer, so he can break it open.
That's another thing. Ultra Magnus, okay? You've got... what was the human organization? Silas's group.
Mech.
No, Mech. Yeah. You've got Mech, and they can create these drones and things. And, you know, they have all this at their disposal. And you have Ratchet on Cybertron, you know, and Shockwave who can... between them, build entire Predacons. Why can't they reconstruct an Ultra Magnus hand? What's so hard about making a hand instead of just a little claw thing?
That's kind of like in the 24th century. I mean, that's like in the 24th century. Why is Picard still bald?
It's not that. He's so intelligent.
I ask you the same question, Doc.
That it like overrode his hair follicles.
Well, I mean, but they sort of established that with the whole Teacog thing, and that Transformers can't just replace their, or they can replace them, but they can't particularly just grow them back, or it takes a special sort of method to forge one.
But this is a hand. It's just a hand.
Is the arm of Solus Prime laying around anywhere? kind of pop that on, or maybe a mini con. Have a mini con that turns into a hand.
Yeah. Well, here's
it'd be like the Transformer version of Vampire Hunter D.
Arms Micron. Can just like somehow
arms Micron. It's an arms Micron.
But what did you guys think about Megatron's conversion? Because for me,
it was a little quick.
Yeah, exactly.
The reasons were there.
Yeah.
Given how he explained it on screen, I was okay with it.
Was like, "I've been tortured or subjugated or whatever, and I know how it feels now." It's like, Unicron just talked to you.
This is my question. What happens to Megatron now afterward? Does he become the source? Because that's the next step, isn't it?
I think he might go Sharkticon on us. I'm not sure on that.
He lives in Cybertron sewers now. You know, there's rumors that there's a giant monster in the sewers, and you can't.
Actually, those are his roommates, and they hang out down there and eat pizza.
Yeah, and they're called Shuds.
So somehow became Snaptrap. He's going to come out as the new Predacon.
or he's going to go off to the wilds of Cybertron and become Volingiter at some point.
Wow.
But here's,
that's an awesome one, too.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I got to say this about Predacons Rising, because it just irks me. This of all the things in Prime, this irks me the most. They've gone through all this together as a group, the human team, Prime, and the humans. They've been together. They fought together. Hell, Miko got the Apex armor and kicked butt.
Yeah, that was fun.
And in the entire Predacons Rising, the kids are not even mentioned by name or referred to other than our human allies. Yeah. You can't tell me that these humans that were a part of their group that helped them save the universe on more than one occasion aren't even on their mind. I know they're rebuilding Cybertron.
They reprogrammed themselves.
But I'm serious. I am an amateur writer. Okay, I am not a professional writer. You know, I am an amateur writer at best. But when you have characters that's part of your show, part of your mythos, and then you have the concluding arc of the mythos, and they're not even mentioned. It's just, to me, that's bad writing. Even if the kid, when Racket bridges to Cybertron, they're not even there in character in the base behind him. And it's like, why did you leave out, even if they didn't do anything, a reference to their existence would have felt like, you know, it's a shame the kids can't be. Because you can't tell me Bumblebee wouldn't want Wrath on Cybertron with all this technology, or Miko wouldn't be running crazy with Bulkhead on the planes doing four wheeling and stuff, you know.
It's sort of like, you know, wasn't it at the end of Cybertron they sort of like wrapped up the kids in the future?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is Cybertron. This is Armada. This is the AEC trilogy that was notorious for being crap. 95% of the time, and still went back and gave the characters from the earlier parts of the trilogies at least a cameo to show, hey, they're alive, they exist, they're relatively happy.
Which was not in the Japanese one, by the way.
Exactly. They went back and had them make that footage.
Yep.
But they did that for Cybertron, for Armada and Energon characters, too, and they couldn't even mention the kid in Prime. Even
yeah, just a little glimpse at where the kids are,
what they're doing, and I'm not trying to say Paragon's Rising is bad for this one thing. I'm just saying, from a writing standpoint, that's a weak. Ignoring four characters.
I would have really enjoyed is if they would have brought him in and made him some type of like Power Master or something like that.
That is what I was hoping if we had gotten to season 4 or 5. See, when Raph by that Dark Energon, giving him a Power Master suit of armor to control the energies that was in his body.
When he should have died, because I wanted him to die.
Yes, we know. Thank you. We know you have. We have a deep hatred for Raph.
Heartless son of a boy.
I hate Raph.
But I'm just saying
he's a bad character.
He was a good character, not explored properly. There's a difference. But I'm saying in season 4, that could have come back as a problem. Put him in Power Master armor, and having gone from there, have him be Bumblebee's Power Master. I could easily see that happening. But I mean, again, it's what if.
Transformed into Bumblebee's voice box.
Yeah,
but wasn't he Bumblebee's voice box the whole series, anyways?
It would have been better if you just turned into a headmaster.
I can understand you.
Yeah.
Shut up.
That's just bad.
Imagine all the crap that Raph can make Bumblebee say.
Yeah. Well,
Raph was the character for all the bad plot lines, like. Well, I can hack into Super Government Network because I'm a 12-year-old with a laptop.
Well, I'm just saying that.
Every 12-year-old with a laptop can do that?
Yeah.
That's modern technology. That.
I just think if the kids had each gotten, like, or at least one episode focusing on their home lives in three different parts and how their lives were interconnected now, just to flesh out their families and their backgrounds.
Yeah.
It just would have made more sense from a in-universe cohesiveness.
Yeah, because they were teamed up with, you know, Bumblebee with Raph, Nico with Bulkhead, and Jack with RC. They could have had standalone episodes where each of the kids and their Autobot companion could have had some sort of misadventure at school or in town or something, and just focused around that and trying to remain in disguise.
Yeah. At that time. Hey. You could have had the obligatory Thanksgiving episode about where the kids, before the first commercial is one kid, the second commercial is the two kids. I'm just saying you could have had a very special holiday episode.
Yeah.
And the kids trying to juggle their home Thanksgiving with the Autobot Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean the kids could have shown the Autobots how to plant maize.
That's a bit
fish.
I think that's Rescue Bots territory, not yes, Slitnik.
Next on a very special episode of Prime.
So here's the human wrap up. June Darby goes a little crazy. She has Optimus Prime plastered all over her house. I don't know. Jack and Miko end up together. I think that was sort of seemed like something that would happen. Raph gets arrested for national terrorism.
You are terrible.
And then the agent guy is an agent guy, so he just...
He retires from the agency and goes back to the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Burn me.
There we go. We wrapped up. Humans are dealt with.
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm serious. I don't fault Predacons Rising for being... It was a good wrap-up to the series. If Megatron's conversion was a little quick, that was story necessity. But just from a bad writing standpoint, forgetting the kids is one of the worst things I hate about the whole series.
At the end of the day, it suffered from the same thing animated suffered from. Animated was canceled before it was intended to be canceled because they were switching to the hub, and then Prime was canceled before Prime was supposed to be canceled because they're switching back to Cartoon Network. Yep.
No. No. No.
What I think
it's
is
it's messy time.
Yes. No. What I think is a really big missed opportunity in Beast Hunters and Predacons Rising both is the fact that while we got them in the toy form, we never got Abominus. The Terracon.
Yes. No. Those
characters would have helped flesh out the Predacon faction so much more. Steeljaw and Sky, or not Steeljaw, Darksteel and Skylynx, I think, could have come in Season 3 Beast Hunters, and then Predacons Rising could have been the advent of the Terracons and Abominus.
Yeah, I mean...
Like a blend between, you know, your zombie Terracon, type Terracon, and Predacon technology together, and Abominus could have been a zombie combiner.
Yeah, they could have gone... I mean, it would have been nice to have seen
a lot... That could have been an epic finale.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have seen a lot more of the Predacons.
Why are you being mean?
We obviously didn't get that many because, you know, Prime was using a very expensive kind of animation, so we got a handful of characters, and that's what we were going to get.
Yeah.
But it definitely would have been nice to see that, and it's a bit of a shame that it didn't get to go as far as it could have. To an extent, I'm really excited for RID. I'm gonna temper that excitement with a bit of, you know, reality that it's a kid show.
Yeah.
I want the animated.
Don't say.
They had the Dark Energon controlling the Predacon bones, the skeletons. Why they couldn't have, instead of having an army of random bones that were just generic throwaway models, just have an army of five, you know, Terracon, Predacon, whatever you want to call them, generals, if you will, serving Unicron, and those could have been the threat to the core of Cybertron, the Spark of Primus.
Oh, that is so super rope. That's awesome.
It would have been awesome, and instead of all those zombies, yeah.
Right. If you're going to have Terracon and Predacon, just...
Yeah, but they could copy and paste that one zombie 1,000 times, and it looks...
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it would have been nice, but, you know, we got what we got. There was something I was thinking about.
As one of the Terracons, there were several of them that got a larger scale, weren't there?
Touch base on Transformers Go, considering the Abominus was technically only in those cartoons.
Different colors, though, but yeah.
I mean, did any of us watch Go?
They actually released them in two different color schemes.
Oh, did they? I know over here we had the standard and then the target pack.
Right. Over there,
I didn't know about Transformers Go having a different...
They had the more screen accurate actually released over there.
Interesting.
Yeah. Did anyone get into that line?
Don, didn't you say that you got hold of the combiner?
Yeah, I got hold of the first three combiners of BotCon because they're brave to me, and as a brave collector, I saw a lot of positive things in there. But then I got home and together and. They're still good individual figures, but combined, they lost a lot to me, unfortunately, combined. And that's kind of the reason I wanted them was, you know, this combiner.
They wasted that entire middle bot.
He was kind of like the middle bot. He was kind of like...
I'll form the abs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's see. JRX.
I'll form the voice box.
JRX was Rail Racer, Rail Spike, and Midnight Express, right?
Yeah.
Midnight Express was the middle bot. He's there just to be a torso, just for the other two to connect.
Well, and a jetpack.
Rapid run.
I mean, was it Rapid Run?
Yeah, it was Rapid Run. But he's at least is a jetpack of sort. Yeah. You know, he's got he forms two rocket boosters where the these guys were just like, oh crap, where do we stick all this stuff?
That's why I didn't get the other ones. Unfortunately, it just there were brave homages there, but not enough for me to keep buying the line, especially the Optimus.
Was that the very first time we've ever seen Optimus Prime as a train?
I think so. Which I really like the idea.
Unless execution
was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of a hint, nudge, nudge, because I know some people really don't get into the train bots. Unfortunately, we got that Power Rangers thing that came out. I'm not a big fan of that.
I guess technically there was a
Power Ranger train combiner. I mean, it's cool, but I mean, I would love, absolutely love Hasbro to get off their butt and make us a Combiner Wars train robo that looks like Raiden, that could be repainted as train robo, that could be repainted as six liner and as six train.
Definitely.
There are more characters you can make from that one robot. For God's
sake, but they're
being stupid. Make one.
But that's four characters that aren't going to sell because no one knows who they are. Hasbro's view on it.
Well, I mentioned this on RFC a week or two ago. I would love to see a Combiner Wars JRX rail racer. I would love to see. You know, because if they're not sure trains will sell, do it as three instead of doing it as five with the Scramble City things. I mean, you could do the other characters.
Have the middle one be a bigger train that is the Voyager size that allows the other two to combine, and it makes a JRX.
Kind of like Mike Gaines?
These other ones, but then release the other ones so that way you can actually make a five combiner or six combiner. What's wrong with that? It's trains. You can hook them all together.
Well, you know, the Sentai series in Japan that just ended up, Ressha Sentai Tokuger, was based on trains. And a lot of the Power Rangers and Sentai fans are wondering if they're even going to bother bringing that over at this point, because trains in America are not as part of the ongoing culture as it is in Japan. So they may be looking at it like, yeah, we can do these three trains, but if we use that money towards this five-car set that's whoever, then would that sell more? Which is the only thing I'm worried about.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I want more train.
Yeah,
I agree. And I don't know why they're so adverse to trains. I mean, Thomas, the tank engine, has the largest section in Toys R Us.
Well, it's a different age group. It's a different age group, though. They're still full of imagination.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, but I feel like
the best thing ever, right?
Like a 10-year-old is still thinks a train is cool. I mean, a 10-year-old me would, if I saw a train, I thought it was cool.
Oh well, yeah, it's just.
I mean,
like trains. Shut up.
Well,
now there's just that thing that sometimes comes through my town that sometimes I get stuck in a train track for.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask y'all, see what you, just see what y'all think. What do y'all think is the most important thing that came out of Prime, as far as like the legacy? What do you think Prime is going to be best remembered for?
I
would probably say the engineering of the toys, because I think that's where they actually started learning how to make a well-engineered toy and it be stable, and actually a lot of the joints not really fall completely apart, and the transformation bot be so complicated and difficult to the point that somebody
else is going to the wall. I would give that to animated well before Prime.
Well, I mean, I think they got a lot of cues from that, but I think they also solidified a lot of the transformation stuff from Prime, because myself, being one of the ones that doesn't really like highly complex transformations. Everybody knows I collect primarily nothing but Generation 1 and 2. I actually like these And these, I see a lot of cues coming from the Prime line. Because there's a lot of
Because a lot of my Prime figures... I associate a lot of my Prime figures with a lot of panels that were hard to get in place.
Well, it's just,
if you pick up a Dreadwing and transform him, I guarantee you, you're not going to ever get his panels in place correctly.
Yeah, but when you look at Beast Hunters Prime, that was a little
bit... Beast Hunters did have some, like Prime was simple, but he did hold together really well.
Well, Wheeljack did, too. Wheeljack, it wasn't that complex. And a couple of things were kind of tricky, but once you figured it out, it was easy. And then, that's the reason why that mold was probably used as many times as it was, because that mold was reused several times. I think the transformations were actually some of the best. I mean, especially with that Viacon, I mean, they shoved so much engineering into that thing.
Hi!
It wasn't that difficult to transform. It was actually fun. I think they brought back the fun factor of transforming something versus, oh my god, this is like a freaking Michael Bay moment. I want to throw it at the wall. So, I think they brought it back, and a lot of the engineering cues have been going into stuff like this.
The way I'm going to answer your question, Don, is I think given enough time, Prime's not going to be remembered for doing anything. I don't think it really did anything. I don't think any of its plot lines were unique. It wasn't even, Beast Wars arguably had Beast Wars Season 3 arguably had comparable animation to all of Prime. When it comes to robots are easy to animate. They look like robots. Humans definitely looked way better. But it was still a lot of open environments with very little detail and stuff like that. I honestly never got any more awe out of it than watching Season 3 of Beast Wars. You watch Season 1 of Beast Wars, it's definitely noticeable. But and that, you're talking about 20 years of difference. And I don't think it introduced many characters that are going to hang around it, because Bulkhead was introduced and animated. There was nothing really, I don't think there was anything really unique about Prime that in 3 or 4 years or 2 or 3 more cartoons that anyone is really going to recall. Unless they grew up with it, of course, they're going to think it's a good thing. That's how it always works. there is someone out there in our fandom right now that is like, Energon is the best, and I hate TFYLP because they hate Energon. But
I like Energon.
I mean,
you're off the show. Get out.
I already was once.
Thanks to the Telegraph. Yeah. I mean, some of the Energon was okay. I would say there's maybe a few robots that came out of that that had an all right, alt mode.
Well, I'm talking, robot, but then I mean, but some I'm of talking cartoons completely more than.
Oh, the cartoon.
I mean, a lot of the Decepticons were good figures in Energon, but I think where you're more likely to remember the shows than the toy line, given enough time, and for at least in my case, and I don't think Prime's going to be remembered for much.
Well, for me,
I would say the toy line probably.
For me, from the show standpoint, I think it'll be a cue for a lot of future writers who've realized they can do a season-long story arc in Transformers, and that you can have important integrated human characters as part of the story rather than just your audience identification characters.
You can never go anywhere with them.
Well, no, I want them to be able to get to the point where they can write Transformers arcs like Straczynski wrote a Babylon 5 arc. Granted, it's going to take a while to get there, but I think Prime was a good step in doing a season long. I mean, Animated did it as well, but it wasn't quite as you had this focus on every episode, or at least every couple of episodes, that you knew that this arc was still ongoing. Mm-hmm. Animated could go two or three episodes and nothing even happened.
Yeah, I mean, it took the Beast Wars approach more than Prime did.
Right. But you know that's what I think. Now again, like Plasticon said, the toy line I think will be remembered for some really like the Viacon. That Viacon mold is still loved by a lot of people. But that's what I hope Prime is remembered for from the story standpoint is you can tell these arcs and have important human characters that aren't just there as mouthpieces.
Honestly. The Viacon itself, just the name. Can you guys remember one time where the Viacon had been that popular that somebody was like, oh, yeah, the Viacon, and everybody knows what the heck it is? You can't.
I mean, everyone, anyone like me who grew up around that time is, my brain automatically defaults to the Viacon, faction.
Yeah, Beast.
They don't live in popularity. They live in, infamy. But
not many people know that.
Yeah.
Well, given enough time.
When I look back at story arcs, and stuff like that, and I'm thinking, okay, drone transformers, the only time we really had drone transformers way early was after Generation 1, it was actually in the G2 comics. Every single solitary troop that G-Axis had was a drone. So those were the early versions of vehicles.
Could we count the ones in the Kida Vector Sigma?
Or the sweeps?
They seem sentient to me.
No. The sweeps just share the same flying style.
If you're using sentience, the Viacons and the minor drones, like
massive armies helping the other faction.
Sweeps had dialogue.
You're talking about the sweeps. You're talking about the Insecticons. The Insecticons could duplicate themselves to an infinite amount.
Yeah, but they're considered Insecticons. They weren't considered.
Which is Viacons. Why they keep getting reissued.
Turned into a vehicle. The whole the whole definition of Viacon is it turns into a vehicle. The only ones I know of that even really did that were out of Generation 2.
So everybody's a Viacon.
No. In their own right, but I'm talking about a drone type. I mean, in the G2 comics, I know some of you guys have never read them.
They're called Viacons because they are mass. They are the same character in mass numbers, which was exactly like the Viacons from Beast Machines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where the name comes from.
Then again, the Generation 2 comic came out before that.
So what would that also go for, say, the Terracons and Omnicons in Energon? Would they fall in that category too?
Yeah, I guess if you want to even call them characters, they were like drones of the most. Omnicons were a bit more characters than the Terracons were just there to be on the screen for a second before they exploded into green.
That's the whole definition of a Viacon. It's cannon fodder. That's what they were.
Yeah, walking explosion. But RC was an Omnicon too.
Yeah, but the Viacons did have some characterization. You had dialogue between them and Starscream, and you had dialogue between the two of them.
Yeah, but
I really
considered that they call him Gary. They give him
I mean as a fandom, we all started calling him Steve, but he was still a Viacon.
I must have a Transformer named Gary now.
Everyone called him Steve. I was really sad that at the end of Prime, they didn't show like one lonely Viacon, and he was like, "I'm unique." Like everyone else is Prime the Victor.
You know what would have been good is if they had a Viacon that was similar to like Bob, Agent of Hydra. It's kind of the standalone, unique character for no apparent reason, just that, you know, here he is. He went on like different misadventures with Deadpool things. That probably would have been interesting. It had like one Viacon that stood out from the others.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you did have the silver ones that came in, and they're supposed to be like general leaders.
Yeah. Or, I did get those, yeah, the gray ones, yeah, with the white flyers.
Are you a flyer? Nope.
I love or that flyer design, though. I mean, it looks like a car.
That's one of the best lines ever, Wheeljack said.
Yep.
Or even one of the Viacons maybe getting tired of fighting for the Decepticons and switch to the Autobots.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired of this war. I want this crap over with.
I saw somebody that took a Viacon toy and repainted it and gave it flames and made it look like Rodimus, and it looked good.
Well, that mold worked
for a lot. I really wished Hasbro would just literally, if they're going to do Combiner Wars, why don't they just take the Viacon mold, since it's so well known and loved? Literally take that same mold. You don't have to retool or anything. Well, maybe retool the head and such.
The head, yeah.
But turn that into freaking Rodimus.
I don't want my generations line to turn into universe.
It's gonna happen anyway.
Although, if they
take a generations character and turn him into another generations character, it's one thing. But keep Prime out of there.
Well,
if the Vicon one was designed after the Batmobile, then would the Rodimus one be the Robinmobile? the red and yellow.
That's
you gotta put a big G2 logo on the front of it to make it even
better. Yes, there we go.
Wow.
That'll sell it.
Apparently our Prime conversation has gone insane.
Well, we can talk about one more thing, though. You got the BotCon exclusive stuff with the Machine Wars and all that.
Ah.
Where they reused those molds already. With the Megaplex. That was done
for
the Dreadwing.
Yeah, they used him for...
Those from the Dreadwing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's already happening. You guys out there are complaining about Universe and stuff.
Yeah, right? But I don't consider those mainline. I mean, that's like... You know, that's like including a lucky draw into, you know, anything. Yeah. They're unique. That's really BotCon's fiction.
That did kind of happen once, technically. The Emerald Green Unicron.
Yeah.
That was a lucky draw, wasn't it? And that was based on the green Minicon version of Unicron in the end of Armada.
Yeah. I mean, it happens, but it's...
I don't know if it'd work in Prime, though.
Yeah, it's...
You know,
I know they're going to use those molds, but when it's Fun Pub, who cares? They're just using whatever they can get a hold of.
Yeah.
If it's an official Hasbro product, you know, I think, as a collector, I'm past the point of accepting that. If this was... 11 years ago, it would have been totally acceptable to use figures from various lines in a generation.
The one mold we never did talk about was the Cup/Ironhide mold.
I never got that mold.
They
released it as the wrong character.
No, not that one. I'm talking about the.
I know the bigger one, but I don't have that one.
Too, and they released him as the wrong character.
I had both, and to be honest, they were amazing. I mean, the truck mold was beautiful. The robot mold was excellent. I had no qualms whatsoever with those. I really wish they would have brought Cup into the actual cartoon. It would have been great. But
yeah. Well, I wish they would have brought Ironhide. I mean, it's not Cup, he's Ironhide.
No. I liked it. Actually, I liked it better in the green than the red.
For that matter, could you imagine if they would have brought in Cup and Ironhide as a pair of old Codger Autobots, and they would have had some sort of dialogue with Ratchet? That would have been an entertaining episode.
That would have been awesome. I would have done that. Come on, Hasbro.
Yeah.
Think about this.
I did.
Oh.
Could have been like the Three Stooges.
Point. Well, I needed that.
Lord.
I think all of us are going to have, well, except for Cyburn, who apparently doesn't think Prime's going to be remembered for anything. But I think
being a show.
But I think a lot of us though will keep fond memories of Prime in the wild. But I'll just finish up by saying I hope that Robots in Disguise, when it starts tomorrow. Now, it may be a while before it does any major tie-ins other than just maybe some name-dropping, but I do hope we do get a sense of continuity, because it's very hard to look at RID as a sequel to Prime as it is bare bones right now, other than Bumblebee being Bumblebee. So I'm hoping they do tie it in properly with a lot of good cameos later on, a lot of maybe not even just cameos, but actual previous characters. You know, get Fowler in there, get, you know, maybe a cameo, maybe someone's rushed to the hospital, Darby in the hospital in Crown City.
Yeah.
You know, just, okay. You know, but when they start doing the cameos, I hope it's with the same character, same voice actors, if possible.
Well,
just so we can get that sense of unity between the two series.
I guess it depends on how far set future, because we do see cityscapes in
but people aren't driving around in hover cars, and you know they're not driving. Oh, yeah, it's not movie 2005 yet.
They've had time to rebuild Cybertron.
Miko's a widow. Raph's in a nursing home.
Yeah,
drinking his orange juice.
You know,
Fowler and Dart and June are dead.
Yeah, they're not afraid of his national terrorism anymore because he's right. So old.
Man holds a grudge.
Hey, anybody who listened to those old episodes will know that I have, you know, I've remained consistent.
You are our Ratchet.
But so this is one thing I do, and I always wish for the Prime is I did wish they would have brought, you know, because they took Bumblebee and they took Optimus and they put them into Rescue Bots, and I always wish that they had taken Heatwave, Boulder, Chase, and Blades and brought them into Prime. Because they are good characters.
Boulder and I really wanted to see them primed up.
What's that?
Boulder and Bulkhead would have been awkward.
I could see that, like, the animated episode with the Constructicons and Bulkhead. Yeah. But, you know.
Oh, just because they look so similar. I mean, for that matter, you might as well have Hound walk in, too, just to confuse matters even further.
Yeah. Actually,
come on, man. Hound gets no love anymore, man.
Yeah.
What is up with that?
You got John Goodman. That's good enough for me.
That's a little disappointing, yeah.
That's not Hound. That's Bulkhead.
Yeah.
It's Bulkhound.
No, I don't.
But I would rather
that be Hound than Bulkhead, because Bulkhead to me is still animated Bulkhead.
Yeah. But now, one thing we did ask at BotCon last year, you know, if there's any way that we could ever see, you know, them show up in, you know, at all, you know, in the two shows. And apparently somehow, I don't know how, but apparently all of Rescue Bots so far, up until the start of season 3, took place during season 1 of Prime.
Oh.
And with Red and see with Rescue Bots, the adventure comes from rescuing and not war. So you would have a real hard time having the Rescue Bots show up and not be a part of the war in their own, because you know they wouldn't show up and then just leave and go back.
Well, I mean, but that's why I think...
Yes, they could.
R.I.D.
To protect the bots.
Well, that's why I think R.I.D. is the place for them to sort of make their appearance to older fans. I mean, because R.I.D. is... I mean, let's face it, R.I.D. is as much a sequel to Rescue Bots, even though Rescue Bots is still running, as it is to Prime. I mean, they're going with an art style that's a bit of a compromise between both series.
And
you have something that's you have something that's on the animation side. It's not as rough as Rescue Bots. Rescue Bots has that sort of derpy like flash animation. And what I've seen of R.I.D. has been really fluid and really nice. But it's still that. That animation style that's a lot cheaper, easier to produce.
Yeah, and, I noticed a quality in the frame rate that the new R.I.D. uses.
Yeah,
that's a little bit distracting.
Well, next week, myself and John DeLuna go into this this more next week. But since the show starts tomorrow, I'm asking. This is just something all longtime fans. People that watch Prime, before everyone starts making judgments, just watch the show tomorrow, then make your own call. And you know, just when you all get on the boards tomorrow and talk about it, everybody please keep it civil.
Seeing it.
Civil.
I'm ready to
wait. It said civil. Does that even exist in this fandom anymore?
You part of that?
About anything that comes out.
Hold on. Well, I'm just That was last week's episode.
Once Truck Not Monkey happened, all bets were off. It was game over.
Well, it's just, you know, that's... I just want R.I.D. to get the fairest shake possible from all the fans, not just the target audience. And I just don't want a lot of people...
I think you always hear the loudest and most negative people because they have the most to say.
Oh my god, the new Devastator's head's too big and his foot looks like a derp. Get over it.
Well, they could always switch him around.
That's what
I'm saying. But yeah, so you're gonna hear negative, and we've heard negative. But I mean, you look at the way I'm coming into this is when I first saw animated character models, it showed the Optimus Prime, which to this day, that's still the worst picture of Optimus Prime.
Oh, the one where he's doing this?
Yeah, you know, the very first picture.
Yeah, that's not a funny picture.
And I was like, this is going to suck. What are they doing? I love animated. I mean, I bought this thing. You know, I'm reading through this textbook size. I mean, it's a lot of art. You know, it's
yeah.
Not, he doesn't read, guys. He needs the pictures.
But but I mean, that's animated it. Turned out to be something special. It's so I'm going into this really with that frame of mind. Though my love for animated has sort of fostered sort of a fondness for the art style that they're going for already. I think it has a lot of the same sort of stylings to it, but they're saying it's targeted for younger kids, but you know the pitch of animated that was that it was targeted for younger kids, but it ended up telling some serious stories in the process.
Heck, you know, spoiler: Prowl dies at the end. That's you know, pretty heavy.
That'd make a good movie title: right. Prowl dies at the end.
Great Scott!
I kind of hate to break this to people. It's like, you know, I think with the way everything's being brought out now, everybody's like, oh, well, it's got to be warm fuzzy for kids. Does anybody remember reading the Generation 2 comics?
Oh, God, yes.
They were very brutal.
Well, heck, in issue 2, they
killed Spock and Ruthless. a lot of stuff ends up happening in it. It's insane what happens in those comics. And
but that was the target audience. I mean,
and it was the 90s.
Extreme.
Yeah.
It was extreme.
Because of the 90s.
Extreme.
Ghostbusters were extreme in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, where's my Ghostbusters extreme movie?
I know, right? Oh, wait.
That may be in the pipeline.
Female cast, and then now Sony's rethought it because of so much hate in the fandom.
Well, they're still doing the all-female one, but they're going to follow up with an all-male one, too. Supposed to be bringing in Channing Tatum.
Oh, so
yeah.
Now we got to
I think Channing Tatum and...
that hasn't even been fully written yet.
Yeah. Going on Ghostbusters. So we plan for.
Let's just do this. Let's just not make another Ghostbusters movie and leave it alone.
Yeah, that's a better solution.
Same thing with Back to the Future.
But we've been going for about 2 hours and 20 minutes now. So, I think we've talked about Prime probably as much as we can talk about Prime. We're all looking forward, all looking forward to, to the future of Transformers, to something new. Transformers does have to keep changing and keep evolving. Tomorrow RAD starts here in America, and what do you guys, real quick, what do you guys' hopes for the series?
Well, I hope it winds up tying back into Prime strongly, so you get the full sense of continuity, and we get some questions answered that we didn't get answered at the end of Prime.
I personally hope
that it's going to prolong the fandom. People aren't going to rage and get mad about it. I think it's going to. I hope it really sparks a new cartoon spinoff to come directly off this, or give us new ideas to go into the future and build a whole new series. One of the two. That's what I'm hoping from the entire thing. And you guys need to quit raging about toys. Stupid. They're toys, guys.
Honestly,
you've seen more of it than the rest of us, so you're coming at it as a bit of a different perspective. But
I always do.
Well, what I've seen thus far, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but it seems like they're trying to introduce a lot of the characters, the Autobots and Decepticons, a lot of your Rogues Gallery, as quick as possible, so they can probably just use them throughout this season. But I'm hoping that they take time throughout the season and the rest of the series to really flesh out the characters so that we care about the characters. Because I've seen all too often where, here's a new character and, all of a sudden, hey, he's dead. Or, whatever. And not just in Prime either. But just almost throwaway characters or they'll recycle names. And I want to have a name brought back, or even a new name, an original character, and I want to care about that character. It doesn't have to be in-depth like Darcy and Cliffjumper was. But, for instance, would be, Robots in Disguise, they had the Predacons that kind of had their banter back and forth, and you got to know a lot about their personality and interaction with Skybite. It wasn't just random, grunts. I mean, they were, but...
Yeah, they were the comedic relief.
Yeah, but at the same time, you got to see a lot of their personality, too.
Yeah.
Through that. And I'd like to see a lot of personality develop in this new incarnation of Robots in Disguise. Yeah.
And the
and
first
also,
season,
I want to see Cyborgs.
Yeah. The first season is always definitely the hardest. I think even Prime suffered that a bit, where how many of those characters did you care for that weren't Ratchet by the end of that first season?
Um,
Because the old curmudgeon sort of, won fans over fast, but did you really care? I mean, RC was just an angry, character and prime, stoic, and boring,
Yeah, that stoic prime thing, that's starting to bug me a bit, too. But anyway, as far as that Ratchet goes, I thought a lot of that carried over from the animated incarnation.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And that helped a lot in that, and all kind of pre-established that version of Ratchet.
Yeah.
As an older war dog.
Yeah. So, Tobias, what are you looking for with Rid?
I think it's continuity, like Don said. We got a follow-up from the Prime show. Some unanswered questions and so on. I totally agree on that. It ended not with a bang, with a whimper.
I agree with you there. For me, I just hope that Steeljaw's awesome because of David Kaye.
Yeah.
I think out of the wolf looking character is actually kind of really unique.
Yeah.
I hope we see more of that kind of stuff because I like when they bring in new stuff. I mean, kind of off subject, but I mean, even when they bring in a new character, they call it Alpha Bravo. That's a new character. I like seeing new characters because new characters, I think, really fills in the line. It makes you think, okay, what would that character have been way back when I was a kid?
Slingshot.
Think about it. It's kind of cool.
Slingshot. But
And they've got a Decepticon lobster creature called Bisque.
That is hilarious. That is
gotta
hilarious.
Love it. You gotta love it. You gotta love it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really I really do. Like the styling they're going with the Decepticons. It's very unique. I like one of my favorite alternators was that Ravage mold at the end that, transformed from the Jaguar into Ravage.
The second Ravage.
The first one was Battle Ravage, so
yeah.
The second one was actually called Ravage.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, I really liked that. I was like, the idea of them transforming from vehicles into something that's not humanoid, which is one of the things I never really bugged me too much about the movies. Everyone's like, oh, chicken-legged Decepticons, and why do they look like monsters? And I was like, but you know what? They're aliens.
Alien robots.
And they're the bad guys. And I sort of like that. I was like, you could tell they're the bad guys. They're big. They're imposing. They don't look friendly. Having them all look like, take cues from animals, I think is really clever. It makes them stand apart from the very human looking, Autobots.
Well, that's one reason why I think I really liked the whole Master Force series because you have a lot of pretenders in there. It's like this pretender looks like a creature. Well, that's because they looked like that was a Decepticon. That was the bad guy. That's where I see a lot of that, and I'm like, see those cues from there. I'm like, yes, please do more of that because I like that. It completely goes the wayside for everything else. So
yeah.
I completely agree with you on that, Mike. I think it's a great thing. I think they need to do more of that.
Oh, one thing I wanted to bring up. This is at EFW.com. I forgot about this. Apparently, there's a live tweet with the premiere tomorrow. There's a live tweet session March 14th at 3 p.m. Pacific. With the cast and crew during the premiere of RID on Cartoon Network.
Huh.
So I want to just mention that before we close out.
Yeah.
Nice. I was not aware of that.
So we've taught Prime, we've taught RID. I think we've covered all the bases. before we go, I want to go ahead. We've been trying to mention some upcoming shows or shows that are sort of local shows that may go unnoticed. And in particular this week, we're going to go ahead and mention the Lexington Comic Con. It's actually going on right now. It opens to the public tomorrow and Sunday. And apparently, it's going to have Jimmy Bullock, some Power Rangers, Walter Koenig, Peter Mayhew, and a bunch of other guests. So go check that out if you're in the Lexington area.
Indiana Comic Con's going on this weekend too. Carrie Fisher is there, but I'm not sure who else.
All right. So this is something that we're trying to do. If you're listening and you run some sort of event, if it's just a local meetup, if it's a small conventions, anything like that, we'll give you a shout out, let people know about you. You can go to our Facebook group and hit up any of the cast members and make sure that you get seen.
And also, don't forget, if you live in the Atlanta area or in Georgia or wherever in the surrounding area, Joe Lanta is also running this weekend. Brian Kilby of Radio Free Cybertron, along with Rob Springer and Diecast, will be there. So if you see them, be sure to say hey. Joe Lanta was a G.I. Joe convention. Now it's a G.I. Joe and 80s and 90s toy convention. So if you've got some free time and want to go check it out, just look them up online.
Yep. So you guys can find us on Facebook at the Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure group. Go there, follow, or join. You'll be added by one of the admins. You can join discussions with fellow fans. We all post on there very often. There's a lot of cool stuff going on there. You can follow Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure on Twitter. I think it's
at TFYLP.
And we have an Instagram. I'm not sure what that one is.
But obviously we got tftalk.net. That's where you can find everything is literally compiled there. So if you're having issues trying to find us, just go there. You'll find everything. Also, get a link directly to my reviews at Plasticon Reviews or Plasticon Studios. I do a lot of the more retro reviews. I've also been doing some really weird, obscure stuff and some customs that I also do as well. Me. I'm always
like G2 Power Master Prime.
Oh, well, G2 Power Master Prime. Well, I happen to have one.
Hey, what a coincidence.
This Generation 2, this is black, that's silver, that's not G1. It's also got this sexy, nice red stripe. Nice. So.
And so you can...
You'll end up seeing reviews of that in the future here soon.
Yeah, you can also find us on YouTube, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, FYLP, search that in the search bar, you'll find us. If you're listening to this audio only, we do this show live every Friday at 9 p.m. unless...
Not 9-ish.
Yeah, 9-ish unless, Google is being a pain or any of the other technical issues that might pop up. But we typically do this once, every week. So you can come join us. If you're on the Facebook group, you'll get a nice event, that tells you when it's going to happen. You can be part of the show live as it's happening. Give us your inputs, and we might even address them on the show. So once again, we had Don. Go ahead and say your goodbyes.
Oh, goodbye.
Goodbye
from me and Massey.
I don't host very often. You can tell. We had Jim.
Goodbye, cruel world.
Jason?
See you guys later.
And all the way from across the pond, we had Tobias.
Yeah. Bye. And
Sweden's number one export.
Yeah.
So if you guys like need crap any or not. Kind of just European toys, you know who to go to now.
Yeah. Hey, Tobias, when's the next Crap or Not coming out?
Yes. When are you doing more Crap or Not?
Yeah, we're doing more Crap or Not. Actually, I uploaded a couple of episodes to Weird Wolf this week, so hopefully awesome. They will be on.
Hey, I got one question, though. You got a ton of Lego behind you. Are you going to do any Crap or Not on Lego?
I could do that. We could do non-Transformers Crap or Not.
Do it.
Absolutely.
Do it.
How about Creo?
Also, yeah. Absolutely, that's Transformers. So seriously, I haven't thought of that.
All right. I'm Cyber 2. I've been your host. Hope you guys have a good time. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Take care.
Bye.
All right, guys. Bye.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.